morning. Grace Christian Church family, we're glad you're with us this morning. I'm streaming live from my home in Monmouth County, New Jersey. My name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church, and we're glad you're with us this morning. And I just want to mention that every week there's recorded worship songs that we encourage you to listen to prior to this message and after this message. Amen. And they're on our Facebook page and also on our website. So this morning, I'm going to preach a message, and the title of the message is called Power Share, and I'm going to add in Power Share Plan. So we're going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and we're going to look at Christ's plan for the apostles, and also applies to us, to share and be a witness of the gospel in power. And we're going to look at that. And believers, understand this. You possess power because you have the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that. But you know, it's almost a year, I can't believe it, almost 1 year since the global pandemic has hit and we haven't been able to meet in our location, which is the Manalapan Community Center. But that's hopefully coming to an end soon. Now we have more and more vaccinations taking hold and more people getting vaccinated. So, hopefully soon. But in the meantime, when the weather gets warmer, we do meet at Monmouth Battlefield State Park. So we're looking forward to that in a couple of weeks, maybe in May, it gets to be 60, 70 degrees. We'll be starting meeting there at the pavilion, amen? And you can also meet us there physically, and we also will stream from there. And we also put all our sermon notes on Facebook every week, and also on our website. Please go there. And our website has updated, so I want you to check our website, because now we have Facebook links there to live. We have prayer meeting links on there, and we also have this Zoom meeting every Sunday morning there. And lastly, before I start my message, I want to say this. We have a new group on Facebook. It's been out a couple of months called Christ is Our Life Movement. And we encourage you to join it. Every day, the admins, persons, the leadership of this church posts wonderful truths about grace, a new covenant, and your identity in Christ, and your identification with Christ. And we pray, and if you go there, you can learn so much about what the Bible says about who you are. Amen. So, you know, as I get older and older, I keep thinking about this phrase. And this phrase is, I want you to think about this. The more things change, the more things stay the same. So the more things change, the more things stay the same. Because I see patterns now, as I get older, of things, you know, not changing. And man attempting to make things better, or man attempting to correct some certain issues in society, and it just seems that things stay the same. Now, I was really more or less thinking now on a spiritual level, think about that as well. The more things change, the more things stay the same. From a spiritual perspective, what do I mean? Well, brothers and sisters, you know, I talk a lot about this when I preach, that we are born in this world with a God-shaped hole in our heart that can only be filled by God. And man is attempting, and we're attempting to change things, adjust things in life to fill that hole and fill that void. You know what? There's a spiritual problem that all men have. And you know, I could say the root cause of all issues really is a lack of spiritual life in the society we live in, brothers and sisters. But man tries to change things in his life, maybe knowingly, maybe unknowingly, mostly unknowingly, to fill the hole in his heart. And you know, this goes back, and I talk a lot about this too, and I want to reemphasize this a lot. Goes back to the Garden of Eden. Goes back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Prior to the fall, they're in complete harmony and in union with God, and all their needs were met by God. Amen? Just imagine what that must have been like or felt like for them. Every need, every provision, every the feeling of love, the feeling of being accepted, all completely in harmony with God. But when the deception came and Eve and Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually. So what that means is God is no longer connected to them by spirit, and they were separated from God spiritually, and then eventually physically died. So brothers and sisters, that's the predicament we are all in as human beings born today on this earth. We have a God-shaped hole in our heart that can only be filled by God, and it was designed by God to be filled, because that's the way it was in the garden prior to the fall. But we can still choose God today to fill the hole, or we cannot choose Him to fill the hole. The hole in man's heart can only be filled by God, brothers and sisters. Only be filled by Him. But we struggle and struggle and struggle to substitute God. Everything's for God in that hole. And we plug the hole with things of the world. But we know from Scripture, only God can fill it. But we substitute. We substitute. And this is the issue that we have today. This is the issue all men face today. Substitution. Our attempt to fill the hole in our hearts. And what does it look like in our society? Well, I can name a lot of things. For example, some try to fill it with a career. Some try to fill it with wealth. Some try to fill it with a relationship. Some try to fill it from their family or a spouse or a child. Some try to fill it from a church. The church will fill the hole. No, it won't, brother, sister. It's a relationship with Christ. Some try to fill it with institutions, with philosophies, which is being religious. But that will never satisfy. That will never fill the hole. That will never meet the need that only God can meet. Nothing will substitute to plug or fill that hole but God, brothers and sisters. But man tries and tries and tries and tries until he hears the gospel message. Until he hears the good news. Until he says, I believe the gospel. I believe Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe. In that instant, he has life. And that hole is filled. But I say this, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Because we're still, those that don't know Christ, trying and trying to fill that hole in our hearts that only He could fill. And I call that, we heard of this definition, insanity. What's the definition of insanity that we always kind of hear in our circles, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, there's a spiritual insanity going on. Man trying to fill the hole in his heart with every other thing but God, expecting a different result. Expecting to feel love. Expecting to get his needs met. Expecting security. No, there's nothing in the world that can provide that. Only God can fill the hole. And I call that spiritual insanity. So many people are in spiritual insanity, going around and around and around and around. You know, in the past several months, I've been communicating a lot with addiction recovery ministries and men, great Christian men that run these ministries. And, you know, some of them follow certain steps. Like, let's say the 12-step program. And I think about this 12-step program that's used in AA. Okay? And if you think about it, the first step, and I'll tell you what it is in a second, the second and third step, kind of follow God's plan for mankind as well. Because the issue is we have a hole in our heart. And with addiction, let's, for example, in AA, step one would be we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Brothers and sisters, that's really the same thing as saying, you know, that as a person, not even with an addiction, I'm admitting I'm powerless to overcome sin. I'm admitting I'm powerless to fill the hole in my heart with things of the world. I'm admitting that nobody can fill that need. And that's where so many people are today, brothers and sisters. Not really so much with an addiction, but missing the point that they're powerless to fill the hole on their own. They're powerless to make themselves and have that love of God or have that, just being in the agape love of God. They're just powerless to get that and receive that unless they have something better and something more. But you know what? Talking to some of my folks in these ministries, you know, it can take somebody a lifetime to even understand that they're powerless over an addiction. And I say it can take a lifetime for people to understand they're powerless over to overcome sin, and they're powerless to plug that hole in their heart. But, you know, in AA, they actually guide you to step 2 and 3, which is this. You come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. That's okay, so that's a kind of 2. And then 3, they say, make a decision to turn your will and your lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Now, they say understand Him. What they're saying here is that we don't want to offend anybody, but the point here is that giving yourself over to the care of God, brothers and sisters, that's the decision to turn your life over to Him, and that's the gospel. That's like saying, I'm turning my life over to the care of you, God, to save me and to meet all my needs and to fill the hole in my heart. Brothers and sisters, once we see the need, the solution is Christ. The solution is God. It's saying, step 1, I am powerless to overcome sin. I'm powerless to make myself right, righteous. I'm powerless to get my needs met in things in the world. And the solution is, there's something greater, there's something more, and that something is God, brothers and sisters, and that's believing the gospel message. Now, today, I want to look at this, because in Acts 1:1-11, Jesus shares and explains to the apostles, and this also applies to believers today, that the Holy Spirit will empower them and give them power to be witnesses. And we can be the same because we have the same Holy Spirit and we are believers in Christ. So today I want to look at this. I'm calling it a power share plan or power share. And we can step into this plan. And I'm just going to look at 5 points. Now, it's going to be 5 points progressing through this scripture point by point. So we're going to look at this. 1, Christ is alive. Point 2, Christ's promise. Point 3, Christ's return. Point 4, Christ's power share plan. And point 5, Christ's ascension. Now I'm going to read Acts 1:1-11, and then we're going to open this time in prayer. So let's follow along if you have your Bibles, and I'm reading from the NAS. The first account I composed, Theophilus, all about that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them for over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up when they were looking on, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, 2 men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Let's pray, bow our heads, and open this time. Lord Jesus, what a wonderful passage in Acts from Luke. I'm so thankful, Lord, you give us your Spirit. I'm so thankful, Lord, you indwell us with your Spirit, and Christ, you are also in us. I pray that the commission you gave the apostles, we would take to heart in our lives as well, that we can be powerful witnesses to share the good news today in the times we are in, a global pandemic where there seems to be no hope, but there is hope, Lord Jesus, in your gospel. I pray we to convey these wonderful truths to those who don't know you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, point one, Jesus is alive. Well, you know, we're Christians. We know that. But Luke says this in verses 1 to 3 in Acts. So he says, I'll read it again. The first account I compose, Theophilus, we'll talk about him in a sec, but all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after suffering many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, you know, Luke composed two books in the Bible, and that's the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And he addresses it to this man called Theophilus. Who is he? Well, he is a person who was of wealth and had high social standard, high social status. That's all we really know. So he addressed the book of Acts and his Gospel of Luke to him. His name means friend of God or loved by God. So when he opens up in these verses 1 to 3, what is Luke saying? He's saying, Jesus returned to earth. Jesus gave orders to the apostles. Jesus was alive. Jesus presented himself alive from the dead. There was many convincing proofs he was risen from the dead. And he appeared to the apostles for 40 days. He was with them for 40 days. So brothers and sisters, we're Christians, we understand. But those maybe are skeptics, got to understand this wonderful truth. Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus appeared to many, and he appeared to these apostles for at least a period of 40 days, speaking to them, teaching them. He is alive from the dead, brothers and sisters. There are many proofs. I won't go through that whole exhaustive thing right now. That's for another message, but that's the Easter message, brothers and sisters. You know what? We don't worship Jesus, a dead Jesus, or a Jesus who is still in the tomb, or a Jesus still on the cross. No, he has risen from the dead. He is alive. And brothers and sisters, here's the great news. As a believer, you have risen with him, and you are also in the heavenlies with him. Ephesians 2:6 says, we are raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are with him in the heavenly places in the spiritual realm. Amen. So Jesus is alive. He's out of the tomb. He communicated with many. And in this passage we see there's many convincing proofs that he has risen. But now, before he ascends to heaven, the next verses, verses 4 and 5, Jesus gives a promise. He gives a promise. And he says, gathering them together, point 2, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. So the apostles are commanded not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So what did Jesus promise? He promised, and he talked a lot about in the Gospels, the Holy Spirit. So what he's doing here is he's saying, not many days from now, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Part of the Trinity, brothers and sisters. What he's saying is, you'll receive it. The Spirit will indwell you. It will seal you. It will permanently be a part of you as a believer in Christ. You know, there's some confusion about, actually a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, prior to Christ's resurrection, prior to the day, we're talking about the day of Pentecost, the Spirit always existed and empowered. But in the new covenant of grace, big distinction, the Spirit indwells permanently. permanently every believer in Jesus Christ. Permanently indwells every believer. And John, and he talks about this in John. You know, Jesus says, but the Helper, 14:26 of John, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said. So Jesus is promising this Holy Spirit to come. And it comes at Pentecost. And he says, you'll be baptized with the Spirit. Now there's a little confusion about that as well. Well, when we believe, spiritually we are baptized in the Spirit. There's no additional baptism of the Spirit in the life of a believer. Once you have the Spirit, you always have the Spirit. And this word Holy Spirit, this word helper in John 14:26, is the Greek word parakletos. Okay? That word means to be one who comes alongside, one who's called to one's aid. That word is also used, the Holy Spirit, as an advocate or a helper. So, brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit. It's our helper. It is in us, and Christ is also in us. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, which assures our salvation. You know, there's some Christian teaching that says you could lose your salvation. You could lose your righteousness, and that is not correct. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is an error, because Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, mark your Bibles, wonderful verse, I use it a lot, says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with the view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. It says you were sealed when you believed with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's a wonderful verse that says you are sealed with him. The Holy Spirit, you cannot lose it. You are sealed with him, brothers and sisters. Now, Jesus says, John baptized, right? But you will be with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Two different types of baptisms too. John baptized with water, looking forward as a baptism of repentance. Jesus saying, here you're baptized in the future when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is our helper, one who comes alongside. And Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem, apostles, until this time when the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. Now, the apostles maybe are a little confused and not understanding what's happening, so they ask a question. And this is about Jesus' return, or the kingdom's return. Acts 1, now we'll look at 6 and 7. It says, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? They're looking for the kingdom to be restored. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So I want to talk a little about this now. When Jesus said to the apostles they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit in the future days, they associated that with the kingdom of Israel being restored. Jesus answers that and says, no, you will not know the times, you will not know the epic times where which the Father has fixed by his own authority for when that will happen. So, let's clear this up right now, for those may be confused. We don't know, brothers and sisters, when the church will be raptured. There's going to be a rapture, it means caught up. Talks about in Thessalonians. We do not know the time, and there's no signs for the rapture of the church, brothers and sisters. We don't know. We don't know when there's going to be a tribulation period. Maybe we kind of think a tribulation period is coming. We don't know the time tribulation is coming in the future. We don't know the time when a millennial kingdom will be set up in the future. We don't know. Scripture says it. Jesus says it. We don't know. We can't pick dates. We can't make assumptions. It's an error of what the Scripture says. We just don't know when Christ will return. We just don't know. You know, I think back about 20 years ago now, around 20 years ago, there was a well-known radio pastor, preacher, that, as a matter of fact, predicted a day when Christ would return. and I'm not going to mention his name. And there was many that were deceived by that. And, you know, just naive in the scriptures, people who were listening to him, they were saved. What they did, a lot of folks, was sold their possessions and gave all their monies to his ministry so he could fund the campaign nationally in the U.S. and put billboards up all over the country stating on a certain date, Jesus is coming back. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? As a matter of fact, I think I even remember seeing something on the Garden State Parkway. I'm in New Jersey. I can't remember the years. Early 2000s, I believe it was. But he picked a date. And he was all convinced on that date Jesus was coming back. Guess what? The date came. And I remember sitting here with my wife, and I remember our kids were small, and we're thinking, okay, waiting. And we didn't think it was going to happen. We're okay, maybe the guy's come up with something. Who knows? Didn't come. Didn't come. Next day, sorry, church, my church, I made a mistake. I was off by a couple of months. I have a new date. And he picked a new date. And then what happened? That day came, and that day passed, and Jesus didn't come back. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, that man was a false prophet and led many astray to sell all his possessions to give to his ministry, to put billboards up around the country to say Jesus is coming back. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying you received Christ, but not to say knowing when he's coming back. That's wrong. It's false. He deceived many. He deceived many. Many fell into that trap and actually lost all their life savings because they figured, why do I need a life savings? Jesus is coming back. I don't need my money. And they lost it all. How false? Because brothers and sisters, you need to know the scripture. It's important to read your Bible. It's important to know what the scripture says about these truths. Amen? Please, spend time with him. Read your scriptures. Learn the Bible. Learn about God. Amen? He will reveal these things to you, but it's plainly stated right here. It's not for you to know the times or epochs for which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But I can tell you, at this point, we're living today in 2021, we are in a time between Christ's first advent, coming, and his second. So we're in this area, this time frame of first coming and second coming. And I call that the age of grace, and I call that the new covenant of grace, or being in a new covenant with the church age. We are waiting for him to return. And in this time, the Holy Spirit is available to all to indwell if you receive Christ. So that's where we are. But let's talk about Christ's power share plan. Fourth point, Acts 1:8. He tells the apostles, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. He says, Jesus says, you will receive power, okay, and look at that, when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my witness. Brothers and sisters, there is power in Christ, and there's power from the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. That power, that word power, the Greek, is dunamis. That Greek word dunamis is our English word today, dynamite, brothers and sisters. So the Holy Spirit gives us power, gives the believer power, in this instance, to share and witness and be used by God. Amen? Now, when I was a kid, I loved 4th of July every year, because I went and bought fireworks from my local buddies. And I remember the M80. Do they make M80s anymore? Those little M80s? I think it was a quarter stick of dynamite. And I used to blow things up all the time as a kid, right? I loved it. Now I can't even think you can buy them anymore. But that little quarter stick, imagine having a full stick of dynamite. It's so much power, brothers and sisters. We have dynamite in us, brothers and sisters. We have dunamis, brothers and sisters, because we have the Spirit. That's power, might, and strength, brothers and sisters. We have it. We have ability from the alive by the Spirit through us. We have miraculous powers. We have strength. We have the Spirit, and we have Christ in us, brothers and sisters. Jesus is saying, you will receive power. power when the Holy Spirit comes. Talking about Pentecost upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. That is one who gives proof. One who gives evidence. One that he's risen from the dead. And the gospel message, too. They are a powerful witness, brothers and sisters. And he says, share this. Start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. Its gospel spreads out from that one spot. Amen? From that one spot. Now today, if you know Jesus Christ, if you have received him as the Savior, somebody shared with somebody from that first point down the line, probably thousands of people to you, and you have heard the gospel message, and when you believed it, you were saved, and you received the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. 2,000 years ago, it's been going out. It's been moving forward. You know what? It's a powerful witness. But the question is this, for you, now I'm talking to Christian, for you, do you believe you have the same power and can be the same type of witness like the apostles? Do you believe you can be? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And your answer should be yes. Because you have the same Holy Spirit and you have the same Christ in you and you have the same message, we should need to share the message. The time is now to share the gospel. The time is now not to recoil back and be afraid. The time is now not to be in fear. The time is now to share the good news and share in this plan. This is Christ's power share plan, I'm calling it, for the world. To share the gospels to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Now, you know, you don't have to be the pastor or the elder or the deacon or take an evangelism class or go to seminary. No, it's just basically seeing somebody, meeting somebody where they're at and sharing the good news and telling them, you know what, that whole God-shaped hole in your heart can only be filled by one person. That is Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit to enjoy. Only way to fill that hole is by God, amen? That's what they need to hear. The time is now. You know what? God leads people to you. If you have an open, if you're open to say, Lord, let me share with whoever, they will bring a person to you and you can share the gospel. No need to fear. You're not jamming it down their throat. Because brothers and sisters, what I fear is this cancel culture that's around today, it's not too long from now where they're going to say, the cancel culture is going to say, you can't even talk about Jesus because that's offensive. And it probably is to many. But brothers and sisters, the time is now. The time is now to share in this plan, to share the good news. You are a powerful witness, and you're part of Christ's power-sharing plan. Brothers and sisters, I was talking, again, I mentioned earlier in this message, to a man who runs an addiction recovery ministry locally in New Jersey. And he's about 38. And he told me he sees hundreds of people from under 40 that are addicted to drugs, that are addicted to all types of drugs, alcohol and all different types of drugs. And he says the reason is they don't know Christ, one, and they were not brought up under the umbrella of a Christian home. They don't know anything about Christ. They never heard about Christ. He said people, families have taken God out of their homes. This is the issue, brothers and sisters. The time is now. We're losing the generation, the younger generation. And this has probably always been the case, but I see it now. I see it now. The younger generation needs to know Christ. Amen? And we're older. Those that are older, I'm a little older, okay? I can admit it. I got kids in their 20s, but I share too. You need to share, not just me. We're powerful witnesses. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same gospel message. Jesus is alive. We're alive. We can tell people the hole in your heart can only be filled by one, and that is Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit. And he will meet every one of your needs, brothers and sisters. Step two and step three of Alcoholics Anonymous' 12-step plan. And then fifth point. Then we're going to conclude. Jesus ascends into heaven. verses 9 to 11. After he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Behold, two men in the cloud stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky?" Question mark. "And this Jesus who has been taken up into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Brothers and sisters, that's Jesus' ascension into heaven, and he will come back the same way. That's where we are today, between his first coming and his second coming. And what does God want us to do? What does he want the apostles to do? Is to share and be a witness to those in all of the world, on the most parts of the world. Amen? That's where we are. That's where we're at this point in 2021. So in conclusion, power share plan. Acts 1, 1 to 11. Christ laid it out. He showed us. He explained it to the apostles. And you could say, well, I'm not an apostle. Brothers and sisters, you have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same gospel message. You have the same Christ in you. You have your hole in your heart plugged. Why hold back that great news? Why not tell your friends and family and everybody that comes in contact with you that inquires, not forcing it, about you, about Christ? Because, brothers and sisters, Christ is alive. He's seated at the right hand of God, and you are too, in the heavenlies, if you know him. Christ promised the Holy Spirit, and it came true. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. It indwells us. It gives us an assurance of our salvation. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. It's with you forever on this earth. Amen. Christ talked about his return. He said, no one shall know the time. Don't fall and be deceived. You know, oh, it's right around the corner. Just because we have a global pandemic doesn't mean Christ is coming back in the next day or month or year. We don't know, and we can't guess. Don't guess. We just know he will return. We look forward to his return. Amen. Mm-hmm. Don't be deceived. Share in Christ's power share plan. Share in it. Join in it. Step into it. People need hope. You know what? People need to understand they are powerless to overcome sin. They're powerless to fill the hole in their heart. They're powerless to manage their life. They're powerless to get their needs met in things of the world. They are powerless. The only thing that will fill that hole, brothers and sisters, is God. Step into that plan and share as a Christian. Share to those who don't know him. And then finally, Christ will ascend into heaven, and he will come back the same way. What a wonderful hope we have in the future as a Christian. Amen. He's coming back. And if you're alive when he comes back, we are raptured up to be with him in the air. Amen. What a great plan. What a great bunch of scriptures, 11 verses. You know what? Christ told the apostles this wonderful news. It's wonderful news for them. It's wonderful news for us. So it's my prayer, brothers and sisters, that you jump in and step into God's Christ power share plan. And don't be intimidated by the evil one. Don't have fear. If God leads you in the Spirit to share the good news, share the good news. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close this in prayer. And then we'll see you next time. Bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I pray those listening to this message today will sense an urgency in this culture, in this nation, that men and women, children, fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, all, brothers and sisters, all need to fill the hole with you. I pray, Lord, that they would come to the realization they're powerless to manage life, to be accepted by you by works or law, that the hole in their heart, the needs that they need to be met, and things in the world will never be met but by you. I pray, Lord, you would be a great revival, a great awakening. Those who listen to this message, just share the good news of who you are, because it's all about you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that there would be a revival in this nation, and this would counteract the evil one's attempts to cancel you. Thank you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name. And we shall see you.